Leviticus chapter 17. I was thinking maybe Father's Day we should do a battle or something, one of David's battles, and just see things flying, but that didn't work out. So we got Leviticus instead. So praise the Lord. Chapter 17, as we dig into it, we see these commandments, we see the things that are going on, the preparations have all taken place. Now things are getting put into order and put into practice. In more wisdom, more understanding, more commandments, more statutes are given about the things that the Lord wants to see in the tabernacle with the priests and with the people, just teaching them all the things that he wants for them so that they can know the very best of who God is, so that they can walk in the truth of what's best. And it's so important for us to know His word, because without knowing His word, we don't know the God of the word. And that's where we get to know Him, is in the word. We don't get to know Him by what somebody else tells us. We get to know Him by what He tells us about Himself. And we want to trust Him in it. So it says in verse 1 of chapter 17, and the Lord spake unto Moses. So again, the Lord speaking to Moses face to face, ministering to him. Teaching him and teaching him to teach the others that are there, the rest of the people. And remember, not everybody in Israel was listening, just like today. Not everybody that sits in the pews, not everybody that's in the world is listening to God speak into what he says. Would it be so? That would be wonderful. It would almost be paradise. But we aren't going to see it this side of heaven, so... We just look to see what the Lord says. And he says to Moses, speak unto Aaron, which is going to be the high priest, Moses' brother. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. So notice he isn't just telling Aaron as the high priest, but he's telling Moses, he's telling all the people. And that's important for us. We don't go through a man, we go through the living God. Jesus said that no one comes to the Father but by me. So there's no access to the Father. There's no access to fatherly wisdom, to understanding, except through him. That's the only way we can get it. I don't know about you, but I kept trying in my young years when I was still going to church before the drugs and the alcohol came in and distorted everything. I kept trying to read the Bible, but no understanding in it. But it wasn't until God, the Holy Spirit, as I accepted him as Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit came into me, that I started understanding what the word meant and what it said. And that's so sweet now. You can pick up your word and you can know the love letter that God has for you. We always want love letters. Remember being in the service and being overseas? Letters were great because there was no communication besides the couple hundred guys that were on the ship with me, and they were ugly. And there was no listening to those guys. But boy, when letters came, it was nice. It was nice to hear from mom and dad, nice to hear from folks back home. It was nice to hear those things. But boy, we get to hear from heaven what God wants to say to us. That is so wonderful. Because as you look at the universe and how huge it is, God picked earth and planted man on earth. Created man in his image. We're now image bearers of who he is. And he wants to speak to us. Not just once, but every day he wants to speak to you. Multiple times. If you're willing, he'll speak to you anytime. He loves conversation. And he never sleeps or slumbers. So if you're up at 2 in the morning, you can talk to him. And the Lord got me up last night a bunch of times. And it was all for Tom and Kim. I don't know what was going on. But Tom must have needed extra prayer, because we know how Tom is. But the Lord does those things, and he speaks to us, and he ministers to us. And it's just wonderful. Why would he choose us, we ask? I don't have a clue, because I don't deserve it. I haven't earned it. I haven't been good enough. I haven't gone to church enough. I haven't read the word enough. But in his love, in his mercy, in his grace, he's come to minister to us and to love on us. And you can know that love. You can have that love. And he wants to give that love to you. And so just reach out this morning and just seek his heart. So this is the thing, it says in verse 2, which the Lord has commanded, saying, what man soever there be of the house of Israel that kills an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp, or that kills it out of the camp, and bringeth it not to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He has shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. And we're going to see some of these things, and they aren't going to make sense to us till we put it together towards the end. So just hang on for a minute, and we'll get there. We're really just going to read through most of this chapter, and then go somewhere else and just put it all together. But God has got a plan in all of this. And in verse 5 it says, to the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for peace offerings to the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout all their generations. And thou that say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering or a sacrifice, and bringeth it not to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it to the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people. And this sounds really harsh, but God is trying to put into focus for folks and into a place that there's one place of sacrifice. And really, it's a pattern that we're going to see that goes all the way through Scripture and comes and reveals itself at the end of Scripture for us, that really there is only one sacrifice. They're offering many sacrifices, but God wants to show them that there's going to be coming one day one sacrifice. And we see what that was as we come to the New Testament and you open it up. So the Old Testament is just revealing what the New Testament is bringing. And the New Testament just brings what the Old Testament talked about. This is just one book. It's not just 66 books written by 40 authors, and they're all wacko, and they're all doing strange stuff. This is all tied together by the Holy Spirit. The men who wrote these things were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these things. And boy, it's so nice when you find something that you can trust in, and you can hope in. It's a sure hope. Because there's not much hope in the world. People are out there saying, I hope I'm safe. I hope this happens. I hope my car keeps running. We know that's not going to happen. We hope in so many things, but there's only one place where there's a sure hope. And it's not in anything in this world. It's out of this world. But he's revealed himself to us. It doesn't get any better than that. And with that sure hope, you can get through anything that you're going through right now. Things may fail. People may fail you. Systems may fail you. Cars are definitely going to fail you. Money's definitely going to fail you. But God is never going to fail you. And when you have something that you can hold on to that you know is true and real, it can get you through anything that you're going through right now. No matter how severe, no matter how awful, no matter how bad the news is that's coming to you, you can get through it because you have good news waiting for you. And it's the good news of the gospel. It's the good news of who Jesus is. And the Lord is trying to teach the people that. He's teaching Moses. He's teaching Aaron. Because remember, they're new to this. They're just coming in. Aaron just got his clothes. You know, he got his hat, got his coat, got his linen breeches and all those things. He even got holy underwear. I mean, come on. Everything is brand new. And he has no clue what to do with it. So who does he look to? Does he look to Joe Schmo in the tribe of Judah to find out? Oh, it's got to be something else. Joe Schmoberg that's in Israel that he has to look to? No, he looks to the one who created everything, who made everything. He says, Lord, what is all this and what do I do with it? You've called me to this place. And I don't know what to do here. And folks, he's called each and every one of you to earth for such a time as this. And he has a plan for you. And he loves you. And he's going to bring you through whatever you're going through. He's going to direct you. He's going to lead you. And he's going to encourage you. Well, Lord, I'm not much of anybody. And I really don't have anything to offer. And I really don't have anything. You know what? There's people in Scripture that you look at that you only see one time in Scripture. They're only mentioned one time. But the Lord knows who they are, and He knows what plan He had for them, and they lived their whole lives just to perform that one thing that God had for them. And God's got the same thing for you. It may be just one thing, but will you be faithful enough to wait for that to come to pass? Will you be faithful to prepare yourself and prepare your heart and let the Lord prepare you for that time so that you can glorify Him in it? What a wonderful thing that is when we can know that God wants to use us and that He loves us. His love is great. His love is perfect. And so we've got all these people, and they're in the wilderness. They're wandering from Egypt. Half of them still want to go back for the leeks and onions. I could do without leeks and onions. I'd rather have steak and fries, but hey, they're coming. So we have all these things going on, and the people are scattered all over. They don't know what to do. They're looking to Moses for answers because he's the one that's been talking to God up on the mountain. And so he comes down and he starts telling the people, and they're going, what is up with this? Never been here before, never done this. What do we do? He says, this is what you're going to do. And he starts giving instructions. And a good father, like God is, always gives the best instructions and the best ways to go about these things because he's a perfect father. We as fathers try and tell our kids, hey, listen up. That's not the way to go. That's not what you want to do. You don't want to be on your phone 30 hours a day. That was for my granddaughter. Sorry. Had to put that in there. You don't want to be doing all these things. What you want to do is be listening to me because I have the perfect way for you. And him being a perfect father is not going to give you wrong instructions. And that's why we listen to him, because he's good to us and he loves us. And he wants the best for us. He wants the best for our lives. We think we know what the best thing for us is, but you know what? Our life isn't guaranteed. I woke up this morning and all of a sudden I'm old. I have no idea how I got here this quick. I wasn't old yesterday. I was just running around. And all of a sudden there's this old guy in the mirror looking at me and go, boy, are you ugly. And what are you doing here? How'd you get this old? Oh, life is short. And 100 out of 100 people are going to die if the Lord tarries. And where are you going to go when you die? And he's got the instruction manual for it. He even tells us what's going to happen when we do, if we're in him or if we're without him. And the things that happen for those who don't know Jesus, who aren't with him, they're awful things. But it's what they desire, because God is never going to go against your will. If you don't want Jesus, he's not going to force you to come. He's going to allow you to go your own way, but you're going to suffer the consequences. I always thought I knew better than God until I started reading his word, until the Holy Spirit came in and showed me, is that what you want? And all of a sudden, I get to this place, and I don't want the things that I thought I wanted. I want his ways. And he says, there's one place of sacrifice, one place to come. And it sounds strange. And can't we worship anywhere? Sure you can. But there's only one focus of that worship, and that's got to be with the Lord. And that's what he's trying to teach the people. You come here for fellowship, you come into this place for worship, you come into this place to meet with me because this is where I'm going to be, and you want to be with me. And no matter where we are, we can worship. Paul says, you worship on Saturday, I worship on Sundays. We can worship every day of the week, and that's wonderful. But there's only one focus, isn't there? And there's only one place that we meet with him, and that's where he is. It's not where we are, it's where he is. We meet with him. He's the one that came and sought us when we were lost. We didn't seek him. We didn't even want him. But he came and found us anywhere. We were lost sheep, just going our own way. But he found us and saved us and brought real life to us. Oh, I don't know about you, but the life I've had since Christ is real life. The life I had before Christ was just death. I was killing myself. I was killing people around me. It was awful. But thank goodness for forgiveness, huh? Oh, thank you, Lord. So he wants one place, and then he switches gears in the middle of the chapter here, but it all is going to tie together as we go through it. In verse 10, as we start out on this section, it says, and whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will set my face even against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. And that sounds awful too, but the Lord is again trying to show the people something, that there's precious blood that's going to come. Peter calls it precious blood, the precious blood of Christ. And he's really starting to get them focused on what's really important. There was dangers in eating the blood of animals, eating the blood of other people's. Cannibalism definitely doesn't make it. It's not one of the practices the Lord has. But there's dangers in eating that blood because there's things that go into our bodies that shouldn't be there. And he's trying to protect the people. He's not doing it because he wants to be mean. You can't have any fun. Don't you dare do that. He's doing it for our protection and for our good. And that is just so wonderful. So the same focus, get your focus on who Jesus is. Worship in that one place where he is. And then there comes the blood. And it's important. We know what the blood means. We celebrate communion every Sunday morning. We know what the blood means, the blood sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And so we realize that he's talking about the precious blood that's going to come. But this is what he's ministering to the people. And he says in verse 11, just a super important thing, highlight it, underline it, do something with it, but put it in your life. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Here on this earth, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Without blood, you are not alive. That's why when you're on the operating table, they give you transfusions. Because as your blood leaks out, you got to replace it or your body suffers. Here on this earth, we're blood driven. When we get to heaven, we're okay because there's no blood. We're spirit driven in heaven. We're not blood driven. Jesus said, I have flesh and bone. There was no blood mentioned when he rose from the dead. So in heaven, we're going to be spirit driven and not blood driven. And these blood driven bodies are not outfitted for heaven. For whatever reason, for whatever purposes there are in heaven, there is no blood there. But it's a precious blood that we're going to see. We're spirit driven there. But here on this earth, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. Look at what it says. God says, I have given it to you. I haven't made you buy it. We're not like Hamas that steals the aid that's coming into the country and then selling it to the people for exorbitant prices so that they can keep their war machine going. Stealing from their own people just so they can have more money. Awful stuff that goes on in the world. And it isn't just Hamas. It's the world. We do the same in America. We jack up the prices. You go to your mechanic and you get parts from a parts store and they add 10% on the price from the parts store just so they can make more money. It's what we do. And the love of money is what? Root of all evil. And yet that's what we do. But God says, I've given it to you. And it's the same thing that he does for your spiritual life. I've given you eternal life. The wages of sin is death. If you sin, there's going to be death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And it's with him. Ugh, it doesn't get any better than that. But he says, I've given you even the blood. They thought they could do all these things on their own, and people think they can do these things on their own. You can't make a sacrifice big enough to get yourself into heaven on your own. You need the blood of Jesus Christ. It tells us in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's no taking away of sin. And if you come to heaven wanting to get into heaven with your sin, you are not going to have access to heavenly gates. You're going to get stopped before you get there. There needs to be that blood covering, Scripture tells us. And that only comes from Jesus. And he's given it to us. He hasn't charged you for it. He's just offered it to you. If you want eternal life, I'll give it to you. If you want a heavenly calling, I'll give it to you. If you want to be with me for eternity, I'll give it to you. Instead of suffering in hellfire and where the worm dies not and the fires are never quenched, I'll give it to you. Oh. We choose to go to hell. He doesn't send us there. The Lord has never sent one person to hell. They've chosen their own ways. And that's what he's trying to teach the people all the way through this. One place of worship, one blood. And he's trying to teach them. This is great. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. Why did he give it to them? So that they could be forgiven. that atonement was just there so that the people could be forgiven for their sins for the previous year. The trouble was, as soon as they got that sacrifice that they gave, they started counting and adding up their sins again. Oh, I don't know about you, but you can sit there in the morning and do wonderful things in reading your Bible, but I know you're just as distracted as I am. And as soon as you start reading, you go, oh, great, I can sit here and read this morning. This is wonderful. I got a couple hours. Everybody's still asleep. I can drink my coffee. I can have the word. I can enter in. And what do you start thinking of? Wonder if the Yankees are playing today. Wonder if the Bills are going to get somebody to help Josh Allen. And you start going through all those things, and you what is going on here? Sin. The enemy is just pouring out stuff, and you're grabbing a hold of it. He's not forcing you. We just do it. But things happen. But God is trying to get us directed in that right way. Just like for all of us, we fight. There's a spiritual battle on for your soul, even right now. I know you're hearing this, but you're thinking, wonder how many of those 10-pound donuts are still left out there on the table. Wonder if there's still a cherry donut that Chuck ate it all on Wednesday night, so there's no more jelly in that one donut because he ate it all. Not that we're against Chuck or anything, but he had half the ice cream too. But he's given it to us to make an atonement for our souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. It's the blood that does it. This blood covering, the blood covering that takes our sin as far as the east is from the west, and puts it away from him. He doesn't see and remember our sin anymore if you're in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. You realize how much you've been forgiven for? How many times did you sin this morning before you got here? It's probably in the dozens. But he's forgiven you. As we confess and repent and turn, we've been forgiven. Thank you, Lord. And those that are forgiven much, love much. And we love him. Lord, help us to love you the way that you deserve. Verse 12, it says, therefore, I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat the blood, neither any stranger that sojourns among you shall eat the blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For this is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all the flesh is in the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. And every soul that eateth that which died of itself, or that which was torn with beasts, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself even in the water and be unclean till the evening, and then he shall be clean. But if he doesn't wash them not, nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity. And you tie this together with a pattern that's here into the New Testament, and you see in Ephesians it talks about washing with the water of the word. You get washed in the word. So as you touch the things of this world that contaminate you, that hurt you, you need to get washed. You need to get cleansed. And you can't cleanse yourself. Only he can do it with his precious blood. You don't have to hold your place here because we won't come back. And I had a ton of scriptures, but we're not going to any of them. Just go to Hebrews, and we'll finish up there this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, if you would. Just sweet scriptures as you tie them together. And that's why it's the whole word of God. We go line by line, verse by verse for a reason, because we want the whole counsel of God. I just don't want to give you bits and pieces of something and never give you the whole counsel, because not everybody just needs bits and pieces. Some of you need the whole counsel. We all do. Not just some of us, we all do. But you aren't going to get it by just doing bits and pieces here and there. Well, I don't like that page, so I'll tear that out and throw it away. I don't like him telling me I'm a sinner. I'm tearing that one out. I'm throwing that one away. You take the whole counsel of God. God, I need to be corrected. God, I need to be admonished. God, I need to be encouraged. God, I need hope. And you go through all those things with the whole word of God. You just don't get them in one verse. You get them through the whole counsel of God. Hebrews chapter 10, it says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come. Remember, we were back in Leviticus where the law was given out and they were starting to go through all the transactions of the law and see how those things would apply to themselves. The law was given, the law was there, but it was a shadow of things that were to come. It tells us this in the chapter before, in chapter 9, verse 23, it says it was necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. The pattern of things in the Old Testament revealed in the New Testament, and they all point to Jesus. You can see Jesus on every page in your scriptures. And if you're not seeing Jesus, you're not looking at the depths of what's there, because Jesus is on every page. The law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the corners thereof to comers thereunto perfect. Those sacrifices that they made with bulls and goats couldn't make the people perfect, because the law can't make you perfect. The law can just show you that you need something else. That there, it's like a schoolmaster that points us, Romans says, to Jesus. The law just points us to Jesus. It shows us that we can't do it, that we need something else, and that something else is Christ. Not Christ plus baptism, not Christ plus being in this church, not Christ plus something else. It's just Jesus. Just Jesus. One of the old guys used to say, just Jesus, and that's all we need. It's not Christ plus anything else. You need Jesus. For they would, in verse 2, for then would they have not ceased to be offered, because the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. Every time they looked, they realized they needed another sacrifice. Every time they came to the temple, they had to bring an animal and to have that sacrifice, because they're sinners. And people don't like hearing that, but you and I are sinners, and we needed salvation. Our schools didn't give it to us. Our government didn't give it to us. Our health system certainly didn't give it to us. We've got nothing outside of Christ. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Why? Because they were contaminated in the fall. When Adam and Eve fell, a curse came upon the world, and every single animal, every part of the world, the grasses, the colors, the trees, everything. Remember, up came thorns and briars and all of those things because sin came into the world. Everything was contaminated. Can you wait for Jesus to come back in the thousand-year reign and he's going to put things back as they were? Oh, it's going to be great. Riding around on lions, just having a great time. It's going to be wonderful. But until then, we're dealing with sin. So, Lord, how do I get by this sin? And he says, wherefore he came into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering you would not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me to do your will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin you would not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. And then he said, lo, I come to do your will, O Lord. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He took away the first offering to establish the second, which was his offering. That's why we don't need the offerings of the bulls and the goats anymore, because his offering was sufficient for all mankind, for every single person. As you look at this love letter, as you realize what he's done for us, it just encourages us more and more to stand with him, to praise him, to worship him, to love him, because he's the only one that's worthy. And he's the fulfillment of all the pattern of things that were in the Old Testament. We don't have to come. Aren't you glad that there's not an altar up here where I'm sitting there cutting something's throat and just wringing the birds' necks? And ugh, I'd have a hard time with that. But it was just showing the world that they needed something more than what they had. They thought they could do it on their own, so he let them establish the law. And then they found out right away it didn't satisfy. It wasn't sufficient. Our sufficiency is not in the animals that we kill. It's in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he died himself for you and I. There's all those arguments that the Jews killed Jesus or the Romans killed Jesus. Jesus laid his life down. He did not let any of them kill him. Remember the Roman soldier came up with a spear, and if he was still alive, he was going to slay him. He's already dead. Why? Because Jesus gave his life. No man took it. God gave it. Just like he gave these offerings, these laws, and now Jesus, he's given us everything. He gave them the blood for the atonement. He's given his precious blood for the atonement. So we just sit here today as recipients of what God has done, and we are the richest people in the world because we have forgiveness. You can have money. You can have your 10-car garage. It's just more to clean. And who wants to do that anyway? But we have Jesus. We have Jesus. And I'm just so thankful. We're going to take communion. And we're going to remember what he's done. But as we're doing it, just remember what he's done for you. And if you've entered into a place of just letting the world overwhelm you with the cares of it, with the problems of it, with the hurts of it, you need to look up. You're looking around, but you're not looking up. So, Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, that you would just minister to us, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts the things that you have for us, that you would just prepare us, Lord. But give us ears to hear. If you're speaking to us about something in our lives, or we're just supposed to be here this morning just to worship and to praise you, Lord, whatever it is, speak to our hearts. We're not all here in the same place for the same purposes, hearing the same things. You're speaking in so many different ways, but you're speaking. And so, Lord, have your way with our hearts. We need you. We thank you for the sacrifice that you've given. Lord, may we just honor you and worship you this morning as we sit before you. Speak to us, Lord. We need your heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Father, we just come just thanking you for all that you've done, Lord. We hold in our hands these tokens. On the Passover night, Lord, you sat with your disciples and said, do these things in remembrance of me. And, Father, that's what we're doing. As you commanded us, as you've spoken to us, we're just sitting here before you, remembering all that you've done for us, Lord. We hold the bread. We see the piercings in it. Remembering that your body was pierced for us. We're holding the cup, remembering your blood that was poured out. And we're just so thankful, Father, that you paid a price that we couldn't pay. Your precious blood poured out for our sin. Father, we're just so thankful that you have taken care of our sin for us, Lord. May we rejoice in you, remember all that you've done, and may it help us to stay close to you, Lord, and walk in your truth always. So have your way with us, Lord, as we take these now in remembrance of what you've done. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, and we take them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.